Okay, here we go, hour number two, and it's Monday, and that's time for our update on the biggest story in recorded history of this planet, an ongoing story that is largely unknown by many unless they have directly suffered a death in the family or a vaccine-injured person in the family or a child dead in the womb when a mother gets vaxxed during pregnancy. These horrors are going on around the clock, and no one is keeping up to date on them in the mainstream media. No one is reporting about them. No one is talking about them unless they have to. They certainly don't identify the injections as being run entirely, conceived by entirely the Pentagon and Department of Defense. They have absolutely nothing to do with public health. They are not vaccinations by any stretch of the imagination on this planet or any other. They are biological weapons. And I think you're beginning to see more and more of the alt community begin to talk about that. Now, Mike Adams talks about a lot of this. There are others as well. And some people are saying, well, why are they admitting the truth? They're admitting the truth because they've already won. They've accomplished what they want to do. I will repeat, approximately 6 billion people out of the 8 plus on this planet have been injected with one or more of the 14 billion injections of a biological weapon of death. There's nothing experimental about this vaccine, nothing whatsoever. It is doing precisely what it was designed to do. It is a resounding success. And when you hear someone you know who's suffering, who has muscle spasms, twitches, constant pain in his or her chest or his or her reproductive tract or his or her head, it goes on and on. You know the game. Their blood has been destroyed. This is so evil that no human being with a right mind could ignore it. Unless they want to just go off into the permafrost and have fun with frozen zombies. I don't know. It's crazy. So we do our best. It's not fun to do. It is not something that you're going to get a whole lot of accolades for because it's bad news. But I'll tell you, if there was a terrible plane crash in New York with bodies, you know, say the plane had 80 or 90 people in it, and there were 80 or 90 bodies strewn all over the place, the plane wreckage was everywhere, it didn't burn, it just crashed in pieces everywhere. Man, there'd be headlines for days. You won't see anything about the billions of people who have been injected with, to one degree or another, a successful biological weapon of death, suffering, and destruction. I don't mean to go on too long about this, but that's what we're facing here. I mean, I would love to do programs about other subjects, but what are those subjects when we're looking at we all have front row seats to the death of our planet. And we're gonna do our best to cover this. Like, I don't see anybody else doing what we're doing, but we have a birthright to know these things, and we have established what we have established. I don't mean just Erica and I. There are others who are doing excellent work in this field, but it's something that just cannot be ignored. Even though that's human nature, people want to ignore it. They want the old normal back, or whatever. Anyway, Erica, welcome back.
Thank you, Jeff. Nice to be here again.
Well, considering the fact that a lot of people aren't, and a lot of people who have listened to this program aren't, they're gone, they've died, and I have one personal friend who was a big listener, dead, murdered, and others who are injured. So it's a bad thing. And there are other things happening, too. Underlying all of this is anyone who has been injected will end up with a compromised or nearly destroyed immune system. And that opens the door for any number, and I'm talking dozens, maybe hundreds, of diseases caused by viruses, bacteria, mold, maybe even yeast infections. They're getting everything. And now we're finding out that there is an outbreak in the UK, and I think it's already happening here, of group A strep. Well, what's group A strep, you might ask, and that's fine. Group A strep is the so-called flesh-eating bacteria. Remember the flesh-eating disease? That's group A streptococcus. You got 15 children dead from group A strep in the UK in recent weeks. It's going on. And underlying all this is the utter collapse and destruction of our healthcare system. It's going down. Hospitals are getting ready to close. I had a story about that yesterday. 7,000 nurses are on strike in New York City right now during a triple, they call it a triple-demic. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, we're on the brink of something very big now. It's definitely picking up the pace. I mean, I'm listening to these 911 calls now, and they're nonstop. Now, it wasn't like that maybe 2 months ago. But they're back-to-back now, consistently. And today I heard one, these people are still getting these shots. It's incredible. There was one for the local pharmacy where the woman collapsed and was on the floor, and they sent the paramedics to go get her.
I don't know. It's crazy. Tell me about this group A strep in children. The bottom line here, of course, is that everyone who's been shot up or who hangs around with the vax to any significant degree is very likely also affected by AIDS. AIDS. That's what these kids have, and that's why they're getting group A strep. They have compromised immune systems.
Yeah, I mean, this is a bacterial infection as opposed to a viral infection. And the UK apparently is leading the way here, just like with that childhood hepatitis. The UK was the first to report this unusual outbreak. Apparently since September, this is according to Yahoo News, 30 children have died, but also 122 adults. And it's a common bacteria in the environment, but people with compromised immune systems, this thing can get into the bloodstream and cause toxic shock syndrome, sepsis, necrotizing fasciitis. And the CDC is blaming the pandemic for it because more children than ever have missed out on their vaccines. Make of it what you will. I think it's highly likely that this bacteria is probably present in unusually high amounts now in the population because of faltering immune systems.
Right. Oh, sure. Yeah, and people don't understand when their immune systems go flat. They don't understand it until they get sick. You feel
right.
Okay. You can get around okay, but it's not okay. And I was very surprised to see these group A strep stories. Now look how they've normalized died suddenly. It's normalized now. People accept it. Normal. It happens. Soccer star dies suddenly after suffering a heart attack. Another one. 17-year-old basketball player, a kid, dies suddenly at home. It just goes on and on. It doesn't stop.
No, it's accepted now.
So they've succeeded in dulling people's senses to the extent that they just don't seem to notice it much anymore. It's become part of the cultural landscape here. And that's a sad thing to say, but that's what's going on. It's crazy. And then we have stories like this one. 6G, when 6G comes out, they're apparently building it so it'll run off the human electrical system. Our own body's electricity will run 6G. 5, see if I got it right. 5G wireless technology is just starting to take off worldwide, but a new study is already speculating on the future of 6G, right? Researchers from University of Massachusetts Amherst say, unlike older technology, 6G could end up using people as antennas, etc. So it's getting to be Twilight Zone stuff. It's sci-fi, but they're going to do it. They're going to roll it out. I think only 60 or 70% of America has 5G so far. They're primarily in urban areas, of course, as you would imagine.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well.
Now, tell us about Dr. John Campbell. We got a very short video clip here.
Well, if you remember, we played one of his presentations, I don't know, a month or two ago, and he's in the UK. He was a conventional doctor, and he's got a YouTube channel that, you know, he brings medical information to the general public in an understandable way, and he was very pro-vaccine from the beginning.
Right.
And
he was.
He has really...
He took a shot, didn't
opened.
He?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did. Yep. Two and maybe three, I'm not sure. But over time, it's been interesting to watch him because he really has come full circle and realized the corruption behind this whole thing and the nefarious intent of it.
Nefarious.
So now he just put a clip out that he's actually apologizing to his audience. And it seems quite genuine. It doesn't seem pretentious or contrived.
Right. All right, here, let's see what he has to say. Hold on. All right, here we go.
Do I wish I'd questioned all these leading experts more? Do I wish I had questioned the leading scientific journals more? At the time, it would have been unthinkable. Now, I actually feel naive for not questioning them more. Let's just say if certain people were economical with the truth, about this, have they been economical with the truth about other important aspects of the pandemic? So disappointing. My apologies if I misled people in 2020, but we always go by the evidence that we get. And personally, I wish I hadn't been as trusting of the scientific authorities and the scientific publications in 2020.
Well, the so-called scientific authorities were just being paid off or being lazy or being stupid. The evidence, the data was all there. If anybody did the research, we know now that, like, Sasha Latipova has found all the data that shows this is a Pentagon Department of Defense weapons system. There's nothing experimental about it.
Yeah, not enough questions. These people did not ask enough questions in the beginning. I mean, there's so many things that didn't add up.
No. It's really something. Really crazy out there.
But here we are. I mean, we've convinced, what, two-thirds of the world's population to essentially kill themselves through the media.
Think about it. We've convinced about two-thirds of the world's population to kill themselves. That's what we did. We did, did it with fear. We did it with constant browbeating. We've just ruined people for life, whether they took the shot or not, in many ways, because of this fear. It's PTSD. People cannot tolerate this much pressure, and so they want to get the hell away from it. I understand. Mm-hmm. We thoroughly understand. Okay, now we have, pardon me, we have a number of people who are listening to this program who are actually vax-injured. They may be, in some cases, in fact, dying. Who do they talk to? Where do they go when their families shun them, when their coworkers, colleagues, and friends shun them because they're no longer physically as fit or able to walk and talk and run or play games as they used to? Who do they talk to? Well, a lot of them go to social media platforms, social media pages and things, and they have groups, and in those groups, and we've read a lot of, we're going to read some more tonight, a lot of people go for at least moral support from others who have had similar issues from this military-grade, but horrible, hideous biological weapon. Now, there's one fellow who trusted the system. He was a musician. I guess he still is, pianist, And normal person took the shot or shots, we don't know, one or two or maybe three, but probably just two, and has written on a particular group's page, right? Or is this just his general...
Oh, no, this is his own Facebook page. It's open to the public.
I see.
He has not been shy about sharing his saga. But this is just one example of the carnage that is out there that people would like to forget about, leave behind, move on from.
Right, right. So he's written, some of his posts are very, very relevant, very important. In his case, his suffering and his death is obviously tied up with some kind of massive neurological failure or attack, assault by this biological weapon, which is being talked about apparently in many circles as ALS. That's so-called Lou Gehrig's disease.
Some
but
type
it's not
of motor
ALS.
Neuron disease.
This
motor neuron disease can be of different types. And this affliction that he has doesn't really have a name. It doesn't present like the classical ALS.
So they'll have to give it a name.
But it's no less debilitating, and it seems to be progressive.
All right, well, we've got some of his posts here, and this, I think, is important because he very well states the dilemma of those who have been shunned and the idea that he knows what's going on finally, and he got in this position because he trusted the system. He didn't hear about enough to cause him to worry, apparently. If the news media were really a news media, they would have given him data, him and everyone else, to really look at and study. And that didn't happen. So he's paying the price, and he's on the way out. And he's writing as he's slowly going down. And we thought some of these, they're not fun, but might, I think, honor those who have no voice, who don't know how to write, who are broken down human beings now, quasi-destroyed, if not totally destroyed. I think this fellow has stated his case very well, and I think, in my mind, it's almost, maybe he didn't mean it to be, but it does speak for the hundreds of millions and ultimately billions who are going down with this thing. He does a pretty good job, so... you want to go? Start with number one. I don't know.
Okay.
You go right ahead with number one.
For some background, this first post that I'm going to read is from October of this year. It appears that he probably got his injections last year. He starts. It is long past time to go public with this. I refuse to simply lie down and die as if I did something wrong to bring about this terrible torture that I have been enduring for the last 8 months now. I understand that others may have differing opinions, and they are entitled to them, but this is my truth in my life, and I am going to lose it very quickly if others are not made aware of everything and don't assist in putting pressure on the broken medical system that has been ignoring and gaslighting myself and many others whom I have gotten to know through our shared experiences these past months. I'm terrible at asking for help and calling in favors, but if there was ever a time for it, it is now. I will not get another chance. At this time, after months and months of crippling pain, encroaching and accelerating disability, and the wasting away of my body's muscle and strength, it is obvious that I am fading fast due to a neuromuscular degenerative disease of some type. It presents like ALS, motor neuron disease, Lou Gehrig's disease, except it isn't showing up classically on the expected testing, as ALS usually does, which has prompted doctors to at first outright dismiss me, which they did for months, or exclaim that my case is too difficult, and fire me from their practices, which they have taken to the past month or so. When I ask for more testing in order to figure out a diagnosis and nail down whether this is indeed my death sentence or whether any kind of treatment may be pursued, I have been pushed away and delayed time and time again, passed off between specialists, being made to wait months and months between appointments when time is of the utmost essence and I decay more daily. Terrifyingly, I have been in contact with dozens of people suffering similarly with strange, unexplained, rapid-onset muscular disease who have likewise been ignored and passed off by their medical teams as well. And through sharing our stories, we have learned that our common denominator has been the COVID vaccines. Given that none of us have any genetic predisposition to ALS, none of us has had health issues prior to our vaccinations, and all of us have this strange, aggressive form of the disease, state that oddly cannot be detected on typical ALS testing at ages too young for the advent of classical ALS, it sadly seems likely that an outside factor like the vaccines could have triggered this. Of course, the medical establishment won't touch that possibility. Regardless of the reason, I am expiring quickly, and it is time to stop being nice and polite and to start demanding answers and treatment. I am begging any of you who care about me, if you wish to see me continue for a little while longer on this earth, please help me.
That was his really opening preamble, I think, to the following pieces, which are a little shorter here. Right, here's the second one. This is November, late November. In the past few days, I have heard privately from several people that I've been in contact with over the past months regarding our strange shared struggles with similar symptoms of rapid, aggressive muscle wasting, weakness, and pain. These people contacted me to say goodbye and thank you for being their friend, as they have progressed now to the point they will have to stop communicating and prepare for the end. I'm going to just pause there. Where else are you hearing anything like this? In the so-called world of mainstream media? Nowhere. And these, we're not talking about 5 or 10 people here. We're talking about millions in this country who have been brutally injured and wounded by this stuff. It's a weapon. All right, continuing. Like me, their stupid EMGs come back clean. What's an EMG?
Electromyogram. It's a nerve conduction test.
Very good. Until they started showing some signs of muscle interference. But like me, they progressed and progressed and were tortured every day as they received no diagnosis, no treatment, and little to no caring from friends, relatives, and the wider public because of the nature of their illness. This is what I said earlier. A clean EMG? Oh, well then you must be crazy. Wasted muscles all over your body? Depression. Go get more therapy. From now on until my end, I will not accept any of this complete nonsense. If people don't wish to accept the obvious physical realities right in front of them, they can get right out of the way of whatever is left of my life. There is not enough time left for more gaslighting, and I will not stand for it. Next, go ahead.
Continuing, a couple days later, he says, I hear from more people now every single day who are suffering with similar symptoms to me. Every single day.
See? They're out there and they have no voice and they're shunned.
Yep. Extreme muscle atrophy, pain and weakness, twitching, every single sign and symptom of fatal wasting diseases such as ALS, PLA, or inclusion body myositis, every single one. And it isn't easily caught on our neurologist EMGs. It isn't found as obvious numbers on our blood work. It cannot be hunted down via an MRI. Yet we have the symptoms. We have the loss of function. We have the obvious wasting and weakness. We are dying. Dying and suffering while doing it. And even our families and loved ones abandon us in every way because we are, quote, depressed or, quote, mentally ill. Mental illness doesn't waste away your body. The one common denominator, the one singular thing we all have in common, guess. What changed in the world over the last 2 years? Just guess. What did we all have injected into us, thinking that we were doing the right thing, but instead left us poisoned and murdered? And people still don't take it seriously, still don't connect the dots, still don't care.
A couple days after that, actually about 4 weeks after that, after Christmas, he writes, "The worst part, I think, isn't dying. The worst part is this suffering before it. Being belittled and gaslit for months as I declined. Being written off as having anxiety when it was clear 9 months ago I had lost muscle mass and tissue I wasn't ever going to get back. Being told it's my fault. I need exercise. I need a different diet. I need a better attitude." That's my personal favorite. "You try having this. Or some magical spiritual healing. I need this supplement or that supplement, vitamin pills. After having tried them all and having none of them work even a little bit. Being awakened every day after no sleep due to the pain and terror of what is happening to me, only to have to face again how much my body is failing. Being abandoned emotionally as people don't want to face the truth." That's called, this is Jeff talking, that's denial. "So they blindly hold on to previous dismissive doctors' assessments that were made with little to no thorough examinations. Being abandoned even by some of the good rebel doctors when I didn't respond to their rigid protocols as they refused to look outside the box, to keep digging, to make referrals. Being told preliminarily that my own family won't respect my wishes and are going to try to force me into clinical trials, feeding and breathing tubes that I don't want, knowing they can't be trusted to actually care about what I want for my own end of life because they refuse to admit reality and confront their guilt. Being denied my truth, being mocked and called insane and dangerous, and being hated as I die by those who I dedicated my time and life to for speaking out about my strange onset and presentation of this fatal neurodegenerative disease state that is being repeated hundreds of times over in people just like me who were healthy and active just like me until one thing changed, one mandated, coerced, untested, unproven thing. But being told that couldn't possibly have anything to do with it when the evidence coming out and all of the brave doctors and researchers sounding the alarms are showing it most definitely did. I don't want to die. I certainly never thought I would this young or in any way like this, though at this point I welcome it fully over this kind of existence. But everything preceding it and the way people are treating me, that is what is unbearable.
Continuing, as this terror has progressed, it has been more and more difficult to find any moments of peace whatsoever. My body keeps losing muscle and tissue, which in turn causes loss of function, which besides being terribly physically painful, is obviously extremely traumatic, as the speed at which my decay progresses has been made clear where I am headed swiftly. All this turbo wildfire bioweapon-induced ALS does it take and take and take at lightning speed. The only peace comes in the precious minutes here and there in which I can still find any sleep. For a moment upon waking, it is almost like this was all a horrible, horrible nightmare, or like I am already gone and free from this torture. And then I wake up. I rub my sore neck and realize again in terror that half of it is completely gone in the back and on one side, which is why my head constantly pounds now from instability. I clutch my sides, where huge portions of what used to be the muscles of my torso and back and abdomen are dissolved away, never to return, leaving me lopsided, off balance, and ever weakening. I see my limbs rotted away asymmetrically. The only hope left is that it ends quickly. I never thought there would come a time in my life where I would be jealous of those who die suddenly, but now I beg for the opportunity. There is no coming back from this. It doesn't take a medical degree for anyone to be able to see that now. It is foolish and frankly cruel to persist in saying anything else about it. I don't really have too much more to say. My story is on my profile and around social media. As long as the platforms involved don't completely censor it or my family decide to erase it out of my existence once I am incapacitated fully or gone, it is documented there for all to see. Once I have my final death sentence diagnosis, I will post once more if I can, but I am done. I'll be off to a hospital today or tomorrow with all testing and my diagnosis given by the next day. All that is left now is to go. Please, please let it be swift. Please let them show mercy and let me, help me, go. Please don't let them make me linger on in this horror.
And we're very glad to have been able to present that truly horrific portrait of just one of perhaps a couple billion wounded, injured, victims already. We don't know. We do know a lot of people are not able to trust anyone, so they keep to themselves. They don't talk about their conditions, their feelings. They're afraid of ostracism, afraid of being shunned. This is humanity's darkest hour for a variety of reasons I make that statement. Humankind is not, in many cases, standing up and helping their fellow humans. They don't want to see it. They don't want to hear about it.
People are, I think, inconvenient truths at this point.
Yes.
And I could substitute his story or the saga of that for people in the myocarditis group, people in the tinnitus group. I mean, they're all getting the same treatment.
Perio.
The stonewalling, the fast shuffle.
All of it. And again, this is going to be a very difficult year for reasons that are obvious. And we appreciate all of you who care, and many of you listening have lost loved ones already, fathers, mothers, sisters, brothers, spouses, children, an unborn baby. This is what those people, if they're people at all, those demonic, evil, satanic, Luciferian spirits cooked up and then had Pfizer and Moderna make for them so they could scare the hell out of us with the most advanced Edward L. Bernays style mind control, which generates nothing but abject fear. And then they mandated, on top of that, that people had to take the shots. If they wanted to travel, if they wanted to work here or there, if they wanted to be alive on this planet, you have to take the shot. Well, the shot was not a vaccine. The shot was your death, in many cases. Maybe you got lucky, and you got only one shot. And that shot was defective. Maybe it didn't work. Maybe you are that one in a million, that exception. But most people are not. And they are going to pay
to
a terrible price.
I am hearing more stories now of people who got one or two shots well over a year ago, and they're beginning to have odd symptoms now, some of which are neurological. Some of these, you know, motor neuron diseases, they take time before they manifest. So I don't know how many more people are out there like this guy. I mean, we don't know when he got his first shot, but it might have been a year prior to when he first began noticing symptoms. But the thing with these motor neuron diseases and many of these neurodegenerative diseases is they are progressive, and by the time you have symptoms, the disease process is well underway, which makes treatment options not very good.
I mean, this guy is, and again, there may be a billion people who are sick like this guy. It's a slow fuse. He's slowly dying. It's just set, I guess, set upon him last February. So it's coming up on a year. It can take time. But once you realize you've got something terminal, and you notice that people don't want to hang around you anymore or enjoy your this guy plays a piano, they don't want to hear your piano playing, whatever, life becomes not worth living. I understand that. And I think they're going to begin to push euthanasia.
Of course they are.
There's no, you wait and see. It's going to get to be big. We haven't seen anything
yet. Well, there literally will not be enough people to care for people in a situation like this.
No. Okay, let's see if we can reconstruct this. For one disabled person like this gentleman, who is very close to needing around-the-clock care, let's say somebody is disabled, and we've seen countless numbers of people who are so afflicted in hospitals or at home, and they need care all the time. It takes a lot of people to give around-the-clock care to somebody. And somebody kindly worked all that out on a monthly basis on 8-hour shifts, dividing the hours of the month up. And it was a lot of people. Was it 16, 17 people? Take care of one person?
Mm-hmm.
So who's going to do that? I don't know.
No,
maybe the lucky ones are those who die suddenly.
It's beginning to look like that.
All right. We wish that gentleman certainly as many moments of peace and serenity that he might discover or experience in the time he has left, and thank him for writing and standing so tall when so many will slink away and turn their backs on the afflicted, which is happening all the time. Okay.
It is, you know, a sorry statement of this society that...
No, of humanity, humankind.
It is, you know.
All right, we have a lot of people who are coming down with shingles. They've never had shingles before. Or they had it once years and years ago, and now it's back. But it doesn't go away. It hangs around for weeks and weeks and weeks and months sometimes. Shingles is not a fun thing. It's a neurologically induced disorder. Call it disease if you want. Disorder, I don't know. It's bad news.
Well, it's a viral infection. It's a reawakened viral infection. Typically, it's the same virus that you acquire when you have chicken pox, usually as a child, although not so much anymore because of the vaccine that they give kids. They don't get natural chicken pox anymore. So consequently, when that immunity wears off from the vaccine they received as children, they're typically sometime in their teenage years, and when they get it bad. But now there's an epidemic of people with shingles out there, kids, and, well, we don't know if it's the initial infection, which would be chickenpox, or shingles, which is a reactivation of that same virus. But there's a lot of it out there, and some of these people that are suffering with it, It's they don't get over it very quickly. It can be turned into a real big ordeal. And I've got a couple readers here just to show how bad it can be when you don't have a competent immune system.
Right. Go ahead. We've got six or seven there. Go ahead.
All right. So I've got shingles again for my sixth time since May. This is by far the worst it's been. Still only a small rash in the same area as the other times. I went to emergency because the pain was unbearable. Discomfort everywhere. Uncomfortable to sit, stand, or lay down. Dizzy, nauseous, headache from hell, light sensitivity, fever, chills, shivering and teeth chattering, then overheating. feeling a bit better with pregabalin, which I think is gabapentin, Tylenol and Gravol. Also was given an antiviral. Every time I get it, it gets a little more extreme as far as the symptoms go. This time, however, was exponentially worse than the last. I am hoping that maybe this time it will be the last.
Which one is that? I've got 1 through 7 here. I don't see that one.
Oh, that was contact shingles.
Okay.
This is down lower under S, shingles.
Okay, I got hugs shingles here.
Yeah.
Where do we go next?
Go to S under shingles. 1, 2, 3.
Okay, got it.
Someone asked, do you go off your shingles meds after the 10 days? I had to stay on mine for a few months and slowly wean off. Otherwise, it kept coming back. Also, my doc put me on a higher dosage after it came back to knock it out. Now, for somebody to have shingles 6 times since May, you know, that...
Well, that's immune dysfunction.
Yeah, and, you know, we don't know how old this person is. She looks young. 30s, maybe.
Here's more.
That's not normal. That is not normal.
No. Here's more. I'm permanently on an antiviral from reoccurring shingles. They should try keeping you on for a bit past the regular 10-day course and see what happens. An answer to that, not even a 10-day course. They only put me on a 7. And a response to that, I am week 30 of shingles. 30. I still have nerve pain in the shoulder and arm. They feel it's permanent. I continue to take, lysine daily to hopefully keep the chance of reoccurrence down. Hoping you have relief soon.
Another one says, I had it over 28 times. It took revamping my entire life to end the cycle. And someone asked, revamping, such as? I had to eliminate gluten, dairy, and oats, no chocolate, no grapes, no nuts. And someone said, really? Gluten, oats, and grapes I can do, but damn, dairy, chocolate, and nuts? And last one says, I suffered for 2 years with shingles every 6 weeks or so. But I started low-dose naltrexone 3 months ago and haven't had shingles since. My sleep is incredible and energy is greatly improved. I do have Lyme disease. Based on my experience, low-dose naltrexone has been a game-changer with shingles.
Wow. Lyme on top of it. Amazing.
Well, Lyme will mess with your immune system. So, you know, these people obviously have an underlying susceptibility to this.
Right.
This COVID shot is notorious for creating a susceptibility to these herpes viruses.
Right. Remember that the spike protein loves neurology, and that's where the herpes viruses like to hang out, in the nerves. Okay, do we go back up to the group shingles higher, or do we go on to smells?
Yeah, let's go to the... Hugs. These hugs. Are people who acquired shingles from hugging somebody who was vaxxed.
Hard to believe. All right, this is shorty, the first one. My sister got shingles right after her second dose of COVID. I got shingles after hugging someone who had been around injected people. He wasn't even injected himself. It's a secondhand shedding there. Or maybe because of random people outside. It's really impossible to avoid them. Antivirals like acyclovir are super harmful. I healed mine with the usual, like iodine protocol, turpentine, and most of all, urine therapy and fasting. I don't believe this is a joke. The blisters had disappeared within 2 days, but symptoms returned every time I ate for 8 days or so. Hey, huh? Every time I ate, what's that, getting another shot?
Has if she was feeding the virus. I'm not sure.
I'm not either. All right, well, that's the second.
The body
shorty.
Either heals or digests.
Yeah, I don't know what that is either. All right, go on.
Where are we?
Number
here?
Three. Yeah.
It's horrible to have to avoid hugs or put up with symptoms. Neither choice is good. Indeed, I still hug. I'm crazy. I'm human. Seeing two people who are working at Christmas market today before they leave, who have not been injected for some hugs, then none for a while. True, I was thinking of injected huggers. Most people I know are injected, but I can still hug my non-injected friends.
Next. Two of the people I hugged briefly before getting shingles, or this 2 months lasting so far, flu, were non-injected, but came from university and school teacher-parent meeting, and were surrounded by injected people. That's the problem. We can't live in a bubble unless all non-injected go on an island with no petrochemicals and pollution and grow our own food. No 5G either, but even 4G is killing.
Yep. Wow, so far hugging a non-vaxxed person has not done anything to me. But seriously, a brief hug is not worth a week of sickness to me. Some things like 5G towers I cannot avoid, but that I can. They don't like it, but oh well. I don't enjoy burning skin, nausea, and headaches either, and a whole week of having to get more rest.
Next person says, been sick for 2 months now. Still trying to get well. Papaya plus seeds does wonders. I had terrible neck and headache. And papaya headache is gone. It's antiparasitic, anti-cancer, especially the seeds. I don't know which seeds he's talking about. Maybe
papaya
the seeds in the papaya. Yeah, it must be. Okay. And there's one more about hugs. My sister has the shingles now and is getting the vaccine soon. I can't stop her. She only thinks the COVID jab is bad. Why? What is wrong? What is
illogical.
Wrong with people?
It is illogical.
If it comes through a needle, it's not okay.
Well, if you have the virus, meaning the shingles, why would you get the vaccine on top of it? That makes no sense.
No, none of it does.
Unless you want to destroy your immune system.
Wow. Jabbed family, all sick. Do that one. That's next.
I just saw a friend's post. Entire family is super ill. Never felt like this before. Can't sleep, can't get warm. And it's not COVID. They checked. Huge buffet eaters, meaning huge vax uptake. Just went back for fourths or fifths less than a month ago. I know because they posted about it. This is the second time in less than 3 months that this family has been under the weather. It's just a mystery. Fellow posters are recommending the coverings when going into public and more checking for COVID, just in case. The brainwashing is real.
So this family of five, all shot up, all sick, but COVID negative. That potentially means they've all been vax injured to some degree.
Well, they've got something. Their body's trying to fend off something.
Right. If they have multiple shots, if they've been to the buffet several times, they obviously have a compromised immune system. So they could have almost anything from a common cold to...
Yeah.
And just an infection of who knows? It could be anything. Once you lose that immune capability and defense, you are really wide open for uncountable diseases and disorders. Okay, I'm looking through these. That's probably about enough.
Okay.
So what do we learn here? We've learned that people who are severely injured and dying have been abandoned by many, if not all of their friends in some cases. No one wants to be around it. Diseases scare people. They think they might get it. No one knows because there's no information being disseminated over the mainstream media lines to help people understand what the risks are or aren't. And that's what we're trying to help you with here. Crazy.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, that's it. It's overwhelming when you realize how many are really injured out there and suffering in this way, being, you know, marginalized, ignored, marginalized.
Oh, blamed for their own problems,
right?
In some cases.
Right.
That too? So, yeah. All right, we have a whole lot of things for Wednesday, so thank you for being here. Thanks, young lady. Talk to you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Okay. See you on Wednesday.
All right.
Bye.
And we'll be right back with Hour 3 and Mitchell Henderson coming up next.